MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Charles Savage, CEO, Purple Group. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Purple Group. Year-end results for August, revenue up 21.5%, HEPS up 143%, active easy equity accounts, clients up 15 odd to 1.1 million and some change. Charles, appreciate the time here. I was looking at the numbers, and in fact, I spotted it at the update. If I separate into H1, H2, revenue's higher in the second half, the expenses a little higher, but not massively so, but HEPS down. What drove that? I mean, is that, it doesn't look like shares an issue. Was that the tax bill? What nudged it lower?
Yeah, so the second half of the year has got some anomalies in it. I mean, the one is from a cost perspective, you noted higher costs. We've got salary increases are in March, so that's our cycle. And then bonus provisions as well. We start providing for bonuses once we've got sight of, okay, you know, what the year is going to turn out to be. Those were the cost effects that kind of means that the cost isn't balanced or normalized. The other cost effects were that our marketing campaigns leave it up in the second half of the year as well. So, you know, those cost effects are why there's an imbalance between the two periods. But fundamentally, if you've got to just step back and look at the year through 12 months, there are anomalies in our business like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and HEPS, I love HEPS. I hope the JC don't do away with it, but I totally take your point on that. The number that, I mean, there's a lot of numbers that jump out to me. Easy Equities, assets under management, up almost 40%, 80 billion and change. It's probably higher since end of August. How much of that was markets versus client deposits?
Yeah, market gave our customers about a 20% lift in the period. So that's a big number. Customers lifted a further 20%. So, you know, they keep pitching up as much as the market does, which keeps surprising us, but it shouldn't 11 years later. But the market, you know, generally they get on average, if you look at the numbers and the results, it's on average, it's a 30% lift year on year. And typically that's normally split 50-50 between the customer and the market. This year, both the customer and the market did more lifting, and just customers pitched up more this year because interest rates were slightly lower. And you know, with every interest rate cut, they put more into their investments.
And April panic, and I put panic in inverted commas. I mean, markets were crashing the world over. Your clients, I mean, I've asked you this question before around panics. They put their head down and say, you know what, this is what markets do. And the best response is nothing, or perhaps go shopping.
Look, they went shopping. It was a massive inflow. It actually broke the record at the time for the biggest deposit month. It was about 1.5 billion. And those deposits bought stocks that were down anything from 20 to 40%. So, you know, 30 days later, they were sitting on 25% increases. And so I've seen some research. They're calling it the buy the dip generation in the US. These guys, they're not waiting for the crash to kind of settle out. They realize it's hard to pick the bottom and rather climb in when they see value. And that's what they did in April.
One of the new features over the last year has been the easy ETFs. You've got three actively managed on the JSE, about R1 billion in assets under management. I mean, that's a huge number, however you spin it. And to be clear, I mean, there's the AI one. I was actually having a look at it earlier in the week. It's done phenomenal. I think it's up over 50% in the last 12 months. And I imagine you've got lots of space for new ideas there. One of them you mentioned, maybe a crypto ETF, if you can get exchange approval.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that product hit the mark last year. I mean, in under 9 months, they raised over R1 billion into those funds. Those funds specifically came first and second in their category, the balance fund being the one that came second in its category. The other two are actually number one in their categories over 12 months. But it's a good example of where brand distribution and a good strategy delivers and can deliver very fast. So, you know, our ambitions are to be the largest active issuer in the country because we fundamentally believe that active issuance is going to be a retail game, not an institutional game.
Yeah.
And given our distribution and brand advantage, we've got, you know, we've got every opportunity to do it. And this year evidenced that we can make a mark pretty quickly. So I'm very excited about the role easy ETFs will play. And importantly, it's a partnership business. So whilst the first ones that we listed are our manager, we've got a stack of listings supporting other managers coming out in the next 6 months.
You've got a ton of products. I mean, obviously, Easy Equities is the big one. Then you've got the crypto, you've got the Easy ETFs, you've got property, you've got loans, home loans, Easy Bonds. And I'm going to preface this by saying I grew up with the understanding that bonds were boring, bonds were for, with respect, grandparents and institutions. You've got, what, 1 million accounts? Sorry, not 1 million accounts, 1 million accounts to sell it to. But you've got strong traction in what is
traditionally a boring part of the market. Your clients are everywhere.
Yeah, listen, that bond product is phenomenal. I mean, you know, it might be boring, but if you bought it around the GNU, you would have got a 12, 13% return with almost no risk. So it's a great product. And traditionally, the retail market was excluded from participating. Mm. And retail bonds, which I know you're a big fan of, those are inaccessible these days. You know, there's nowhere to buy them. So, you know, we took that to heart and created a product that gives the man in the street access to government bonds. We were talking earlier, perhaps there's a credit rating increase. And if there is, then bonds are going to continue to appreciate. And South African bonds have been a top performing asset class for decades now. Retail need it in their portfolio.
Yeah. The government retail bonds, to be clear, sometimes they ask you to fax documentation. That's beyond all of us and doesn't work. And this really is what the Easy Equity or the Purple Group story is. You've got those 1.1 million active accounts. You talk around the flywheel in your results. It's getting more product into more accounts, into more different customers. What is the average? How many products does the average customer have at this point?
They're just under two. So on average, it's pretty close to two now. And that's the magic is, you know, we've got 1.1 million customers that on average are consuming two of our products. Mm-hmm. Our current product stack is about 10. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't have to do too much work to move two up to three and three up to four. And that's how we create more value. It's not by extracting more value from our customers. It's by delivering more value through more products and attaching ourselves to more parts of their financial lives.
And that again and again, I come back to the bonds because, you know, bonds are typically, you know, boring and everything else. The Easy Equities, the Purple Group client, they're staggeringly smart. And I know that sounds almost facetious and like I'm talking down to people, but it really isn't. I mean, they're going and finding these products and finding where they fit their needs.
Simon, you and I have been around this market as long as each other. And when we started out, the dialogue was that retail investors were stupid. That was the dialogue. And the truth is the data after a decade has taught us that they're super smart and savvy and they make good financial decisions. And in the result, they're kind of a top quartile manager for their own money. So they keep surprising us. I'm going to stop saying that I'm surprised because I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But when I say it, I mean that they surprise the rhetoric that lined the streets 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember chatting to you when Sasol was around 20, what was that, 5 years ago, and the fact that your clients were making a fortune from it and the institutional fund managers weren't. A last question, top 40 ambition. I mean, it's one thing to have big dreams. You've put it out there in writing so we can check on it. You want to be a top 40 stock, which is about, what, 20 times up from where you are today?
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, history is probably the best reflection of the future. And so 11 years ago, we invested 2 million rand to create Easy Equities. And that business today, when you add back Sanlam's portion, is about a 5 billion rand business. And so our ambitions today should be far greater than they were 11 years ago. We've got more customers, more partners, more products, more brand, more everything. And so I actually don't think that our ambitions are that ambitious in the context of what we've achieved in the last decade. But an entry point to the top 40 would be a nice milestone. And I think it is well within our sights to do it in the next decade.
And if you look at the likes of Robinhood, the likes of Coinbase, and in many senses, you are both of those. I mean, they're in respective S&P 500. So it's not the craziest idea ever, notwithstanding you'd be the first stockbroker. But heck, why not? Charles Savage, CEO of Purple Group, appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.